Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 107, please. Psalm chapter 107. Good to see each one of you in the house of the Lord today. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Psalm chapter 107. I have a lot to cover this morning and quite a bit of reading. I think it needs to be done. The reading will be in the scripture. But if you'll bear with me this morning, I want to try to bring a message that I believe will be a blessing, be a help to us. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. Psalm chapter 107, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 23. Verse number 23. It says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end." Look at this word in verse 28, then. That's a very important word. You ought to circle that word or underline that word in your Bible. "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders." You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, thank You this morning for the reading of the Word of God. Lord, the song service has absolutely been wonderful. Lord, I praise You for the Holy Spirit. Lord, how You make the words real in our hearts. It's not just a tune. It's not just a Lord, something to bless us in our flesh. But God, it's something that blesses us in our spirit. And Lord, we thank You for that, for ministering to our hearts in song. Now, God, would You minister to our hearts through the preaching of Thy Word today. And God, we will give You glory. For Lord, You're the only one that's worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Word of God said in verse 29, this is where the message was birthed in my heart, "He maketh the storm a calm." He maketh the storm a calm. Now, I'm going to go into some things about the storms of life and some of the things that we faced and will face in the future. I thought about our country. I've thought a lot about Florida this week, and I believe that's how this message kind of welled up in my heart as I looked at the devastation. I used the word the other day when Olivia was on my lap. I used the word catastrophic, and she said, "Papaw, what does catastrophic mean?" And I'll never have to tell her again. She'll remember, amen. I tried to describe to her what it means for the event to be catastrophic. But you can look at it. I don't know if you ever watch the news and you kind of enter into it. I think you should. What if that was my daughter's home? What if that was our home this eve? What if that was your dad's home? He lives in Florida, all piled up under the rubble. And so far, the last count late yesterday afternoon, 77 people lost their life in that storm. And I want us to think about the storms in our nation. We're in a moral storm. We go through physical storms in our bodies, amen. And there's people that are back in church right now that miss months of the services because of things going on physically in your body. I believe, listen, you can take this for whatever it's worth. I'm not a financial expert, but I believe this world is headed for a financial storm. I believe that it's already in the making. Amen. And I've said this for years, and I'll say it again. I believe before our Lord comes, we're going to need each other like we've never needed each other before. And you know what? That's all right. I'm glad we have each other. Amen. As long as I've got a quart of beans, you've got part of them. Say amen. I believe that's the way it ought to be. And I believe God will take care of his own. He said, I was young, David said, now I'm old. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. I believe God will take care of us. I believe that we're in a spiritual storm. I believe, beloved, there's a war going on. I don't believe it's any coincidence or any accident that we're going through Sunday after Sunday, knowing that lost people are sitting in our midst. Wednesday night, knowing that I've got lost people sitting in my teenage class. And I believe there's a war, I mean an all-out war going on. There's some on the Lord's side, and they're pulling for them and praying for them and wanting them to get saved because we know how good it is on this side. But honey, there's an enemy on the other side fighting with everything in him, amen, to keep them from the cross, to keep them from that forgiveness, to keep them from, beloved, being out from under that shame and out from under that guilt. And we know there's a battle going on for souls. I want to give you this morning. This is a matter of information now. Listen, some of you might be getting caught up in this Green New Deal and all that stuff. Say amen. You say, Pastor, you're going to get political. If you preach the Bible, you'll have to get political somewhere. Say amen. I'm telling you, the Creator's in control of this thing. Not you and not me and not the government. Say amen. I'm telling you, we have a Creator. I want you to listen to this. I heard this the other day. A meteorologist said in Florida, in the last 50 years, in the last 57 years, there have been 6 major hurricanes like we've just saw. Now, well, listen carefully. So, Pastor, what's that mean? Nothing. But listen to this next statement. In the previous 50 years, you go back 57 and there's 6. You go back 50 from there and there was 16. That don't line up with what they're teaching us. Would somebody say amen? That don't line up with what they're trying to cram down our throats. I hope before you leave this place today, you'll understand, beloved, that there's no government in charge of the weather. Say amen. Man ain't in charge of it. Man ain't going to fix it. Say amen. We have a Heavenly Father. I read it to you, and I'll read it to you some more in the message today. Let me give you several things today. The first thing I want you to look at is God's power in the storm. God's power in the storm. The Bible said here, in verse 25, he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the wave thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. I had the privilege years ago to go to Israel, and I rode what they call the Jesus boat across the Sea of Galilee. And beloved, literally, we encountered a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. I can remember Bob looking at the faces across from me. You could tell there were people on that boat that were fearful. I believe they knew the Lord, but some of them probably like I was when I was a kid. I couldn't swim. Amen. I was ashamed to tell anybody, but I didn't know how to swim. Amen. It took me years to learn how to swim. But I'm telling you, there was a great fear that came upon the faces. And I'm telling you, if that boat was up and down, and I'm telling you, the waves would crash over and come into the boat. We were soaking wet when we got off the boat. You could ask anybody. Brother Joe Bird was on that trip from right here in Bloomingdale. The pastor at the Free Will Baptist Church, Winston Sweeney. Thank you, Lord. His name just came back to me. Hey, he was on that boat. And beloved, listen, the storms will come, but God is wanting us to see his power in the storm. If you look at chapter 89 in the book of Psalm, I want you to see this for just a moment. In chapter number 89 and verse number 9, the Bible said, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, there thou stillest them. Beloved, God is the one that raises them up.
And God is the one that can step out on the bow of the ship and say, peace, be still, and they'll lay down. Amen. To the point, I believe a tadpole's afraid to jump and put a ripple in the water. Amen. God can smooth it out like that. So look at Mark chapter 4 with me for just a moment. The book of Mark, chapter number 4. I hope you'll stay with me this morning, and I'll try my best to give you some things, beloved, that'll be a blessing to you. Turn to Mark chapter number 4. Jesus is with his disciples, and we'll be back in this text if you want to mark your place and hold it there. I thought I had my place marked, but I'll get it here in a moment. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verse number, I actually do have it marked. I just grabbed the wrong ribbon. Amen. And Mark chapter 4 and verse number 41, the Bible said, and they feared exceedingly and said, what manner of man, said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now you might say, Pastor, that was back there in Jesus' day. Can I remind you of something? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Say amen. Now, I believe God wants us to see some truth that'll help us. We see God's power in the storm. But I want to give you this. We see God's people in the storm. Turn back to Mark, please, for just a moment. Mark chapter number 4 again. The word of God said, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. You say, Pastor, who was the them? It was his disciples. It was those, beloved, they weren't in the bar room. They weren't in the house of ill repute. They were men that loved Jesus. They were men that had decided with all of their heart to follow Jesus. There were men that no doubt in that day were criticized because they followed Jesus. But the Bible said in verse 36, and when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Now you don't have to be much of a shipman to understand when the boat's full of water, you're in trouble. Say amen. When there's as much water in the boat as there is under the boat, then you're in trouble. And the word of God said here, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And the Bible said, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I'm going to give you two things in this area this morning. I want you to look at them and pay close attention. Here's a group of men that were not disobedient. They were doing exactly what the Lord had told them to do. Getting that ship, we're going to the other side. And beloved, if you look at your Bible and read it in its context, beloved, and see the continuity in it, there's a man on the other side that's a maniac. He's dwelling among the tombs. In other words, boys, we're going from here over there, because over there is somebody that needs some help. Amen. Oh, glory to God. If we could just realize in our lives, God's trying to get us from here to over there many times because somebody's over there that needs some help. Amen. God didn't intend for them to drown in the storm, but God intended them for them to learn some lessons in the storm. That God is the one, beloved. It's his power in the storm, and his people are also found in the storm. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Jonah, please. I know, beloved, there'll be some reading here, and I don't want to bore you, but I want to teach you this morning, beloved, that sometimes God's people are in the storm, even though they're living in absolute obedience to God. But sometimes God's people, I said God's people, are in the storm because they're living in a manner of disobedience unto God. The Bible said the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You say, Pastor, what's going on in this story? You probably know the story. God's saying, Jonah, I want you to go that way. I want you to go towards Nineveh. And Jonah said, no, I don't want to go to Nineveh. You say, Pastor, why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? Because he knew that God was a God of grace. He knew that God was a God of mercy. And if he went down there and preached, those people were just liable to repent and get right with God. And to be fair with you, if you'll read your Bible, Jonah did not want Nineveh to get right with God. He wanted them to live under the judgment of God. I want to say something to you this morning. Don't you get mad at me. But in your heart, if you're wanting anybody to live under the judgment of God, your heart's not right with God. Amen. You ought to want every sinner, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's lost to come out from under that condemnation and know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. There's not a one that we ought to want. Not one in Africa. Not one in Europe. Not one in the United States. Not one around the globe that we want to see die. Not one prisoner do we want to see die without God and go to that awful place called hell. Then the mariners were afraid. Let's look at verse 4 again. But the Lord sent out a great wind. Who sent it? I'm going to say something to you this morning. There's a lot of things in life blamed on the devil that the devil ain't got nothing to do with. Say amen. Oh, you say if it's good, it must have been God. But if it's bad, it must have been the devil. Let me tell you something. If you'll read your Bible, you'll see, beloved, there's some bad things happened, amen, because of God's people's disobedience. And a lot of it happens, beloved, just because we're living under the curse of sin in this world that we live in today. And so the Bible said here, he sent a mighty tempest, and the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God. And now you see, that's a little G right there. You see that, don't you? I want you to see that. Watch it. It's a little G. Every man cried unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship and the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, with a big G, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellows, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence camest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? Watch Jonah in verse 9. He said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceeding afraid, and they said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. The Bible said in verse 12, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard. I want you to see that. Look at that word, nevertheless, right there. Jonah said, just take me up. Throw me into the sea. These men got more character than Jonah's got. They're still going to try. They don't want to throw him overboard. They want him to stay in the ship. They don't want to see him die. Look at it in verse number 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. Let me tell you something, beloved, about being in the storm. There's some things that you absolutely cannot do as a mom, as a dad, as a mamaw, as a papaw, as a son, as a daughter, as a brother, as a sister, as a church member. There'll be storms come, beloved, that are out of our control, and there's nothing we can do. It don't matter how hard we row. It don't matter how hard we pull, that somebody else is going to have to come in and step into the midst of that storm. Watch this now. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, now you got a capital L-O-R-D. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon innocent blood, upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let me say this to you. Beloved, the same crowd that doesn't believe that great fish or that whale, whichever one you want to call it, the Bible calls it both, the same crowd that doesn't believe that fish swallowed Jonah is the same crowd that does not believe that he's in charge of the waves, that he's in charge of the sea, that beloved, he is the one. Amen. I've done read you enough scripture. You ought to have it settled in your heart. Say amen. That listen, God is in control of this thing. You say, Pastor, I don't like the way things are going. Let me tell you something, beloved. Let me warn you. It's going to get a lot worse. Amen. I've done read the last book in the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, what we're seeing now is just a foretaste of what we're going to see in the days ahead. And there ought to be a peace in the hearts of God's people, understanding, beloved, that it's not somebody in the White House that's in charge. It's not somebody in Russia that's in charge. It's not somebody in China that's in charge. But it's our Father sitting, Brother Junior, the choir sang about, on the throne of God. And He's in charge of this thing. Amen. Amen. He's the one that's in charge. God's people, the disciples, were obedient. And they found themselves in a storm. But beloved, listen, Jonah was disobedient. And he found himself in a storm. You see, I want to give you something here. God's purpose in the storm. I'll get to this in the last in the message. But one of the purposes in the storm, if you read in the book of Psalms, where we read in 107, the people cried out unto God. If you'll read that psalm over and over and over, the judgment would come, and then the people would cry out to God, and God would lift the judgment. The judgment would come. The people would cry out to God. And I want you to see the parallel here, even in the life of Jonah, in chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. You say, Pastor, how did he do that? I don't know. I just know he did it. Amen. You say, how do you know he did it? Because the Bible said so. Amen. You say, Pastor, you just can't have that kind of faith in the Bible. I have that kind of faith in the God of the Bible that He will not lie. The Word of God said He cannot lie. The Word of God said God's Word is truth. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said he prayed in the Lord out of the fish's belly. He cried by reason of, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. And thou heardest my voice. By the way, beloved, if you doubt this story, well, you ought to go over and read the words of Jesus. As Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. You ought to read it, amen. Jesus himself verified the story, amen. A whole lot in the world today is fake news. This ain't fake news. This is the truth from God's Word. The Bible said, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Oh, thank God Jonah's changing his mind down there in that seaweed, ain't he? Amen. Jonah's saying, you know what? I don't believe this is paying off too good. I thought I could go from the presence of the Lord, and here he is with me right in the belly of this whale. Amen. I'm telling you, you can't get away from him. Say amen. You can't get away from him. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. And then the Bible said, yet hast thou brought me up, brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple, that they observe lying, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. Glory to God. You say, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, it'd be a happy day in your life when you just read these stories and take them just like God. God spake unto the fish. I didn't know that fish could hear. I didn't know you could talk to a fish. I like to talk to turkeys. Amen. Sometimes they believe me and they end up getting eat over it. Say amen. They think I'm a pretty girl sitting at the base of a tree with a shotgun, amen, trying to talk to them, amen. And they come in there to see what's going on, and it's too late, amen. They're headed for the table, amen, when the gun goes boom, amen. But here's Jesus talking to a fish, and he talked to the fish. The word of God said, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I was in Bible school at Liberty Baptist with a bunch of youngins one time, teaching them out in front of me. And I said, what happened when God spoke to that fish? This little boy raised his hand. I remember like yesterday, his name was Aaron. I said, what did he do, Aaron? He said, he throwed up. Amen. That's exactly what that fish did. He throwed up. A backslidden preacher will make a whale sick. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we need to understand in the storm. Listen, that's not for you and I to judge. You hear me well right there. You got enough to take care of in your own life. When somebody else is going through a storm, beloved, pray for them. If they're guilty of what Jonah's guilty of, running from God, God will show them. Say amen. And by the way, I done found this out. You can't show them, and I can't either. Say amen. Now, I'm telling you, beloved, well, take care of that one in the mirror. That's a full-time job. Jonah was not thinking about the mariners, but beloved, he was looking in the mirror. And we see God's people in the storm. And then we see, beloved, God's purpose in the storm. There's several things. Let me just give them to you quickly. Number one, God's purpose is for us to know that he's in control. You see, that brings great peace to me right there. Say amen, knowing that he is in control. And the second thing that God wants us to know is that he cares. Though you remember when the disciples, anytime you're asking Jesus if he cares, you're sideways. They said, carest thou not that we perish? Anytime, beloved, you get to doubting whether or not our Lord cares about you and where you are and what you're going through, then Satan's winning that battle. Say amen. I want you to know the songwriter got it right. No one ever cared for us like Jesus. The old Slewfoot will back you up in the corner. He'll try to convince you there's nobody here that cares. There's nobody in heaven that cares. But our Lord cares, beloved, for us. And then God's purpose in the storm is for us to know that he's coming. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Turn with me, if you will, please. I'll combine these last two things in the message and come to a close. Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. He's coming. You say, Pastor, what does the storm do? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe it causes us to long for his coming. How many's longing for a day when nobody will be sick again? Longing for a day when we won't have to bury our loved ones again. Longing for a day, beloved, listen, when the storms will be over. Let me show you in the Word of God where this come from in my heart. The Word of God said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. This is where we believe in the Word of God the rapture's taking place. You don't see the church mentioned until the marriage of the Lamb in chapter number 19 of the book of Revelation. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice was I heard, as it were, the voice of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. I couldn't believe, Brother Junior, how the songs lined up this morning with what God had already put in my heart. I rejoice in that. Amen. There's only one Holy Ghost, folks. Amen. And if we'd all follow him, God will just put it all together like a jigsaw puzzle. The Bible said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat to look upon was like a jasper, a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne, a sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw the 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thundering and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Look at verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of, what's it say? You know what? Where I'm going, there ain't no more of this. There ain't no more waves crashing in the boat. There ain't no more storms of life. Are you listening to me? The songwriter got it right, Sister Marge, when he said, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Around the throne is likened to a sea of glass. God said, the storm is over. And we're home. Home at last. Amen. Home at last. What a blessing it is to know, beloved, that God, he has a purpose in the storm. If you look in Psalm 107 again, and look at a couple of verses here, and we'll come to a close. Psalm 107, what did the Bible say right here? Look at it in verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. If you understand what's being taught in the scripture this morning, if you just come out of a storm, you can praise him. If you're in a storm, you can praise him. And God only knows who's next, headed for a storm. I believe it was Brother Mays Jackson years ago. He said God's people either just come out of a storm, or they're in a storm, or they're headed for a storm. Maybe that's why, Brother Junior, he was never on TBN. Y'all will get that after a while. Say amen. Get on there and tell people, sow your seed and you'll not have no trouble. I'm going to tell you something right now. Job got it right. Man that's born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble. That's what the Word of God said. Amen. Troubles are going to come. But I want to tell you this. There's somebody bigger than the trouble in your life and in my life. God's people. And then he said in verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works of the children of men. He said in verse number 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. God wants us to bless him. God wants us to praise him. And we can't do that, beloved, if we believe that some man's in charge of the storm. We can't believe that if we believe some politician's in charge of the storm. But we can believe that if we know. Let me tell you this. If you are a child of God and you're in a storm, God has a purpose in that storm. He don't aim to destroy you in that storm. He aims to develop you in that storm. I believe, beloved, listen, there's never been a storm on earth like Calvary. You think about that for just a moment. I said there's never been a storm on earth. There's never been an individual that went through a storm any worse than what happened at Calvary. And that was our Lord saying, I love you so much, I'll take this storm for you. I'll go through this so you don't have to go through hell. I'll go through this so that you can gather around the throne where the sea is a sea of glass, where all is peace forevermore. Look, if you will, at verse number 43. And I'll close with this morning. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. I'm in Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand. Look at this. The loving kindness of the Lord. I want to tell you this, beloved. People that I love, I'd rather see them go through a storm and go to heaven than skip the storms and leave this world unprepared to meet God. The Bible said if we're wise and we'll observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You see, I looked over there at my daughter, and I can remember when she and Elizabeth were young'uns, and they were just like all young'uns. They wanted to get into, say the next word with me, everything. Everything ain't good for them. There's stuff under the kitchen sink that you're not supposed to be drinking. Amen? Everything ain't good for them. So there's things that then they didn't understand. They didn't understand the loving kindness of a mom and a dad. No! Hannah, get ready. Amen. Amen. Macy, she probably done getting it, ain't she? Amen. A little bit. Oh, it's going to get bigger. As she gets bigger, that'll have to get bigger too. Amen, I promise you. Amen. No. Let me say this. Bob, when I was little, even when I was a teenager, I didn't understand the loving kindness of my dad. I didn't understand his instructions. When my first cousin painted his bedroom black, had AC/DC posters, all kinds of black lights, strobe lights, I said, oh man, I like this. I'm going to go home and I'm going to do my bedroom like this. Daddy said, no, you ain't. And I didn't get to listen to that junk in his presence either. Amen. You see, Boston had a song, More Than a Feeling. That's what I'd have got if I'd have went against Daddy. Amen. I'd have got more than a feeling. Amen. Some of y'all are telling on yourself. Y'all was heathen too. Say amen. Bunch of heathen. Amen. Ain't you glad God saves heathen? Gives them a new song. Amen. A new purpose in life. But I'm going to promise you this, Brother Wayne, if we don't understand it all right now, and we don't, we will. We're wise, we're going to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. We're going to be able to say, He maketh no mistake. We're going to say with Abraham of old in the book of Genesis, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. Amen. I say this in closing. I've been thinking a lot and trying to empathize. Thank God for Samaritan's Purse. Thank God for the Red Cross. Thank God for the electric companies that have flooded their vehicles into the area and trying to help those dear people. But I promise you this. Before the storm ever came, I promise you, there was people. I promise you, God's got youngins scattered out everywhere. There were people that saw that sun come up over that ocean or over that bay, and they worshiped God. They said, Lord, thank you for another beautiful day. Amen. I promise you, God had youngins in that. But I promise you also that there was people that lived in that. You see them old big yachts piled up everywhere, amen. They're having drunken stupor parties every other night, amen, and all kinds of immoral things going on those boats, and they think it's hidden from God. But here's what I also am going to promise you. With my heart, I believe that somebody that never looked up before the storm will now look up and realize there's somebody bigger than their boat. There's somebody bigger than their house. There's somebody bigger, amen, that's in control of this thing. Amen. And I believe people, listen, if we'll pray, I believe people will actually trust Christ out of it. Amen. Because let me say this, if you'll read your Bible, you think that's catastrophic. Honey, it's coming like no man has ever even thought about. 100-pound hailstones falling out of the sky. A third of the earth's water turned to blood. A third of the vegetation. Listen, if a third of California gets on fire, we think it's the end of the world. I'm talking about a third of the whole earth. being on fire. It's going to be miserable. The pestilence is already here, and it's only going to get worse. Amen. But for God's people, there ought to be something, Brother Larry, down inside, great old big sign. It says peace. Amen. Peace. 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 One old preacher said it like this. He said, God's people die well. I got to witness that when Brother Ed went home to be with the Lord. God's people die well. Amen. Because they don't have their eyes on the storm. They don't have their eyes on the world. They have their eyes on the one that's going to greet them on the other side. Amen. We step off on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the privilege to be at Bible Way. God, thank you for your people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you're in control of this thing. God, we thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. We thank you, Lord, that even when we blow it, Jonah realized down there in that belly, that whale, he said, oh man, I've messed up. I should have went the way God told me to go. Lord, even when we blow it, you're right there with mercy. And then in chapter 3 of Jonah, you said the word of the Lord came unto Jonah again the second time. Oh God, the message hadn't changed, but the man had changed. He had to go through the sea, through the storm, through the belly of the whale. But God, you changed Jonah's heart. And Lord, he went on and done what he was supposed to do. Lord, I pray now that you'll just help us to do what we're supposed to do. Help those today, Lord, that are among us that don't know you to realize, Lord, there's a storm coming in this world like this world has never seen. Help them to be on the side of Calvary. Help them, Lord, to be one of your people when you come. When the judgment falls, help them to be one of those that will be gone in the rapture. Lord, we'll give you glory. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.